want him to come in and give us that element with that fourth line that's going to give us maybe a little bit more of a little scoring look. At the same time, he's been out for a while. I think he's capable of giving us some energy. And, you know, the way he's worked hard and biding his time, I think he needs that opportunity. I think this is a great opportunity tonight to put him in and to have him help our hockey club.
Welcome back, hour number three. It's game night. Habs, Claude Julien putting Charles Hudon back in the lineup on the fourth line while scratching Matthew Pekka against the Avalanche tonight. There is only one other game in the NHL, and we're about to go where it is in Washington, D.C., along with Joey Alfieri and Dave Trenadue, Mitch Melnick with you until 7 o'clock.
Pierre Maguire is brought to you by Carlos and Pepe's Taqueria in Montreal, Laval, and Vaudreuil. The best way to watch sports? With friends, of course, over tacos and a cold one. Arriba, arriba, SA.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How are you?
I'm sitting at center ice here at the Capital One Center in Washington, so I'm doing great. Thanks, Mitch. How are you?
I'm good. Geez, you're gonna have to wipe off your pants and all of that. I mean, that sounds like something I would do, just kind of cross-legged at center ice and having an awe moment.
You know what I mean. I'm on the bench, but I'm ready.
Well, that's the picture you painted for me. I'm visualizing you cross-legged at center ice in Washington with your hands under your chin going,
That wouldn't be a good thing to do without a prostate. Just kidding.
Before we get to your game and yet another Crosby-Ovechkin matchup tonight. What do you make? You knew there were some changes coming. So Charles Hudon is in. Matthew Pekka is out. Brett Kulak is out. Victor Mete's back. We're not sure yet who he's going to be playing with. What would you expect from Hudon after missing nine games?
The need for speed. Make it easy for him. Just say, you got to turn it on tonight. Just go turn it on. Just play with a lot of pace. I've done a ton of games out there this year. It's probably the fastest paced team on home ice in the league. So I like these subtle little adjustments. Kulak doesn't skate like Mete. Mete's gone down and done his chores, which is great. Obviously, their expectation for him was a lot greater than what he was able to provide at the beginning of the year. But hopefully he'll take advantage of this opportunity, and he can skate and turn and go. This is a team, I'm just warning you in advance, and I'm sure the coaches know it, but for the fans that haven't seen them a lot, they amalgamate their defense into the rush as well or better than any team in the league. So if you are not prepared, if he's healthy, to play against Tyson Barrie or Sammy Girard or Eric Johnson, you are going to be in trouble. So you need guys that can scoot on every line. You really do. And transition defense is going to be a big part of this game. If Montreal wins, it's because their transition defense was better than Colorado's transition offense.
Pierre, when you're up against a trio up front, we'll return to the back end in a moment, when you're up against MacKinnon, Landeskog, and Rantanen, when you're and you know they're coming off a night, a rare off night, production-wise. They were shut down by the Islanders the other night. How do you approach them as a five-man unit?
Well, you just have to know about managing the puck. They are the kings of the counterattack in the league. I know everybody's going to say, well, this line's better, that line's better. Some lines might be better than that line. But I would tell you right now, nobody counters quicker than that line in the league. There's not one line in the league that, if a turnover happens between the blue lines, that can counter like they can. So that's where I think the first thing you do is manage the puck. Secondly, know who you're on the ice against. Every single player, because you don't get last change. And sometimes, and Jared Bednar's done a really good job with this, sometimes he'll see your fourth lines out there, and he'll piggyback and he'll go double up on that top line. And you get caught with your pants down with your fourth line and your third D pairing on the ice, and then you're in trouble. So you got to be, I think tonight more than anything, you have to have a very alert bench. You have to have coaches that are really plugged in terms of the matchups. But you have to stress managing the puck and knowing that they're going to jump fourth guys into the rush a ton. They play a very aggressive style that really works for them.
We're trying to piece together the defense pairings. We don't know yet until we see it.
Well, Weber's going to get a ton of time against them. That's pretty apparent. My concern is, now, the Canadians, did they get there yesterday?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they practice in Denver.
Altitude's going to play a role in this for the third period. It won't affect them in the first two, it'll affect them more in the third. I'll just tell you that right now. So they better have a lead going into the third.
But what you talked about is taking advantage of a third defense pair, and that's the thing that I worry about. If it's Ben and Schlemko together, then you know, he sees that, and he's going to tap McKinnon and those guys and say,
"Oh, go. Yeah, no, they'll double up on them right away." I can tell you. And here's the other part too, their depth players, they all skate too. They really do. And you guys, I don't know the lineup, obviously. Is Zadorov playing for them?
I'm not sure, Pierre. I'm going to give it a look now.
Because if he's playing, on your scouting report, when you break it down for the team, you just say, keep your head up and don't try to stick Kendall around him because he will pulverize people. He is a massive human being. I call him Ivan Drago. He's massive. He is probably the strongest man in the league. And if he gets his mittens on you, he will destroy you. So it's another part of the scouting where you got to pay attention to the subtleties of their team. Their team is built to last. They're going to be. When they get Cale Makar, and they have Makar, Barry, Johnson, and Girard, oh, my gosh, try forechecking them. No chance. No chance.
Yeah, Pierre, Zadorov is definitely in tonight. And one of the guys, you're talking about supporting cast, one of the guys who's kind of caught my eye there, Tyson Jost. He was a top 10 pick in 2016, yep. Pierre. Hasn't necessarily put up the numbers, but in terms of just how he's fit in at the NHL level, what have you seen from him?
Getting better all the time. And one of the things that's really helped him is Nathan McKinnon has taken him under his wing and really mentored him unbelievably well. I go there early for practice, and they're the first two guys on the ice for practice, and McKinnon's working with them on release, moving his feet and releasing the puck at the same time. There are no coaches out there. It's just the two of them. And sometimes the rink's actually dark when they're out there. So he's really been the beneficiary of being tutored and mentored by Nathan McKinnon. And one of the things, I don't know if he's going to play with him tonight, but if he plays with Alexander Kerfoot, there's a serious amount of speed and skill there. So the Canadiens have to be aware of that. Now, the last time I did their game, they played together, and they were really tough to handle. Really, really tough to handle.
Yeah, and it bears repeating. Is that the Tampa game you're referring to?
No, it's after the Tampa game. Okay. It was actually after. It was against Pittsburgh. And it was one of the best games of the regular season. I mean, it was McKinnon and Crosby going mano a mano. But the Tampa game was insane how fast it was. That was the fastest game I've seen all year live.
Yeah, and again, that's the night where Steven Stamkos told Pierre after the game that, geez, it took us a while to get used to their speed. We thought we were a fast team, but they were quicker than us.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So it looks like it's Tyson Jost with JT Conference, Sven Andrighetto tonight, Pierre.
Okay,
Kerfoot's
so
on the fourth line.
That's serious speed. And JT, for those that don't know JT Compher played on the CCM line at the University of Michigan. It's one of the best lines in the history of college hockey. Tyler Mott, he's the M part. He's playing in Vancouver. The other C is a kid that's playing, Kyle Connor is playing in Winnipeg, and JT Compher is the other C, so the CCM line. And in college hockey, nobody could stop them because Connor, Mott, and Compher could skate so unbelievably fast. College guys had no chance against them. And so that line's got, I'm telling you, serious, serious get up and go.
So, Pierre, before we continue with the two games tonight, I want to ask you about Patrick Berglund. It's an odd story.
I know a lot about it, so you can go ahead.
Well, the first thing I thought of, and I don't know his situation, but the first thing I thought of is when the Canadiens got Thomas Tatar and a lot of fans went, oh, he was terrible for Vegas in the playoffs. It was the first time he had been traded in his entire career. He spent all his time in Detroit. And he got dropped into a high-pressure playoff situation. He never got comfortable in Vegas. I wasn't worried about Thomas Tatar not being the player we saw in Detroit, and that's who he is again. Patrick yep. Berglund's had a nice long career in the same spot for over a decade. It must be a shock the first time you're traded, but is it a case of him simply not being able to or being unhappy about going to Buffalo or what?
No, it's when he was a healthy scratch. He's never had that happen to him before. He's dealt with a lot of shoulder problems and injuries. Going back a few years, he hurt his shoulder the first time shooting pucks in Vasteros in the off season. He was actually training with a bunch of guys there. That's where Nick Lidstrom's from. And he's just shooting the puck and his shoulder popped. And he was out for, I think, 4 to 6 months just from that. Then he hurt his shoulder again. And he became expendable in St. Louis, especially after what they did in the offseason, getting Ryan O'Reilly and Tyler Bozak and already having Braden Schenn. So he kind of becomes exposable, the odd man out. Buffalo took him because of character, size, and ability to win faceoffs, and they were really hopeful that he was going to be a really good mentor, because he's a character person, be a really good mentor for Rasmus Dahlin. Well, it started out great. I talked to Patrick when we were in Clinton, New York, doing the Columbus-Buffalo game, and he was really, really excited to be there. And if you look at his body of work in Buffalo, the points maybe not as much as you would like, but look at some of the big faceoffs he won for that team when they were on their 10-game winning streak. He was a big part of that. He was a big part of that. So he was a healthy scratch, and I don't know what happened. He became frustrated, and so now he's a free agent. He's free. I mean, he can go anywhere in the hockey world.
Do you think the Canadians should explore this?
I would want it. Now, I'm only getting one side of it, obviously, but I would want to do some significant research into the player and what's transpired. I know from people in Buffalo, they don't have anything bad to say about him. They're dumbfounded and stupefied how this has all played out, because they have a really tight team, and they thought he was fitting in. So, you know, they're shocked. They're surprised by it, but they have standards. They have organizational standards that they're going to adhere to, and I admire that about what's going on there, because for a lot of years they did not.
And again,
and now they have those standards now, and if you don't want to be part of the solution, you're not going to be a problem, because we're not going to keep you around, and that's what they've chosen to do.
2 goals, 4 points in 23 games, but again, a very useful centerman for a long time in the National Hockey League.
He wins faceoffs, Mitch, and he's a big body, and he's not afraid, I can tell you that.
And he's played pretty well against the Canadiens, Pierre. I think the Canadiens brought his season back to life a couple of years ago. He came to the Bell Centre and scored a hat trick. So, I mean, he's played well against Montreal, too, so I'm sure they're pretty familiar with him.
Anyway, something to think about.
They would know him. They would know him. No, he's definitely something to think. But, again, I spoke with people in Buffalo today, and they're very surprised by this. I found out about it before it actually became public, that they were going to just terminate him, and they obviously had the ability to, and they did it. So now let's see where he ends up.
So Crosby and Ovechkin on the NBC stage tonight. Where have we seen this before? Where would you say both franchises are right now compared to where they expect to be or want to be in late December?
Well, Washington's in a real good spot right now. They're really in a good spot, and they're playing well. If you look at their last 14 games, they've been just so darn good. They only have 2 losses in their last 14 games. I mean, it's a phenomenal record. Power plays 3rd in the league. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. Carlson's had a great year. Him staying here really made a big difference to this team, because they still have the power play presence. Ovechkin is just shredding it. They're just comfortable as a group, and they know they're good. On the other side of it, Pittsburgh's got work to do, and they know it too. They were here early this morning. They skated. I would say that they've got some serious work to do, and they know that as a group. They need more consistency, especially through the course of a 60-minute game. You can't play like they played for the first 20 minutes the other night against Anaheim, which was world-class. They were phenomenal. Anaheim could do nothing. And then play the way they played the second 20 minutes, which was embarrassing for them. And they know it, too, as a group. So that's what's ailed them the most. They can't put string together, you know, full 60-minute games, and they're going to have to.
Yeah, credit the Islanders, who are Canadians are following their tracks. They already beat Colorado, as I mentioned. They beat Arizona last night, where the Canadians are tomorrow. I thought once we saw Pittsburgh behind Washington and Columbus, that they were set. They were going to start rolling and stay there. And very quickly, they've dropped back again because of the Islanders.
No, it's a fair point. It's a really good point. I would say that the biggest thing, though, again, with Pittsburgh, there's got to be this consistency. Their practice today was not a normal morning skate. There was an intensity to their morning skate that usually you don't see. It was all hands on deck. Usually Pittsburgh does a lot of OPTs, optionals. They didn't do that today. It was all hands on deck in there. Mike Sullivan usually diverts or delegates to his assistants, Jacques Martin, Sergei Gonchar, and Mark Recchi. He did not do that this morning. He was on the ice. So there was an intensity to the Pittsburgh thing where I think they're starting to understand the situation that they're in.
And, Pierre, I think Mike Sullivan tried to maybe get the group's attention in their last game. They actually benched Jake Guentzel for a little bit in the last game after he made a bad turnover at the blue line.
Correct. And, look, Jake felt terrible about that. He knows it. He was out there busting it today. And Patrick Hornquist is back. And Patrick Hornquist is, you know, he's one of those players that when you get into one of these kinds of games, which is always physical, he usually is a difference maker against Washington if the Penguins win.
Yeah. He's just, his last game he scored a hat-trick, didn't he? Or the game before that?
I think the game before that. So, you know, the thing about him that's amazing? There are four players playing in this game from the 05 draft. Matty Niskanen, TJ Oshie, who were both first-round picks, Sidney Crosby, who was first overall, and Patrick Hornquist, who is Mr. Irrelevant. He went 230th in the 05 draft. And he's one of the star players in the game. He was 230th, Mitch.
I know, it's a great, inspiring story. It's something. Where was Knuckles? Did Knuckles drop?
I think Knuckles was Mr. Irrelevant, too.
Yeah, he was pretty down. He was low. I don't know if he was that low.
Well, Knuckles was in the day where there was a 12-round draft.
Yeah, but a lot of teams just gave up at some point. Sam Pollock would go 17 rounds. There were a couple of drafts you see around. The only round, the only active team was Montreal. Pollock kept drafting.
Knuckles was a 19th round pick, 231st overall in 1978.
There you go. Pretty close.
What was the number? What was the number?
19th round, 231st.
Yeah, so he was one pick after Hornquist.
There's somebody who can relate.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Hornquist can't fight. Like
Caban! Caban! A double Caban! Oh, no, you don't! Wow!
It's now time for McGuire's Monster.
Can you believe it? I can!
Sorry, Pierre. A lot of games to choose from last night.
Yeah. Toronto needed a big effort from their entire team. They got it in New Jersey last night. They really put New Jersey on their heels. New Jersey's laboring right now. They're in big trouble. They're going to have a huge rest of this week. Nazem Kadri was a star last night. He was phenomenal. He's a monster in every aspect of the game. Their depth down the middle now is just so apparent with Matthews, Tavares, and then Kadri. It's amazing. So Nazem Kadri was a monster last night in the National Hockey League. 3 assists in the game, but really, really aware in every situation. I thought he was outstanding.
How do you expect the Canadiens to respond to the bad performance on home ice, the heavy practice yesterday, and a Colorado team that had their top line in the league offensively, shut out by the Islanders the game before?
I think the Canadiens will respond. The problem is going to be, again, third period. That's tough travel. It's altitude. It's against an angry team. So I expect the Canadiens to hang in there, and if they can get a lead through 40 minutes, I think they'll be fine because your legs get a little bit more lively when you have the lead going in the third than if you're chasing, especially at altitude. But I would say that they better make sure that they have a lead after 40.
Pierre is in Washington. Capitals and Penguins just ahead of the Canadiens and Avalanche. That's it on the NHL schedule tonight. We'll talk about that and much more tomorrow at 5:05. Thanks, Pierre.
Thanks, Mitch. Have a good night, everybody. It's real. It's real in the first... I would say in the first period, you know, they always said that after 30 seconds, your legs start to get tired a little bit, where normally it would be like maybe 45 or 50 seconds. So it is real. I mean, it's weird, but even when you're in shape, so is the other guy, and he's going a little quicker. And
yeah, I won't be married to my matchups. I don't want to break rhythm or anything like that, but you'll definitely need to simplify things. You can't turn the puck over 14 times in the first period against Colorado especially when they have that top line on the ice. So I'm not saying play a boring road game, but I'm saying play a boring road game if it's going to help you get some standing points tonight.
Earlier today, Mark Denis with Connor McKenna, Sean Starr, and Rick Moffitt on the morning show. Sergio Momesso with the 230th pick overall in the 1978 or 79 draft?
78, 231.
Oh, Hornquist was 230.
Yeah.
Right? Knuckles Nylund.